Okay, today we're going to complete Bezus Hashem Hilchus Bishalakum. We're on the last page of Bishalakum. So you have copies. It's the page that begins with Sifya Gimel. Sifya Gimel we began last week, but at the end there were a couple of things I said I would try to inquire about. So let's learn Sifya Gimel again. The issue in Sifya Gimel is what type of cooking is included. Dag shemolcha yevi kechavim. He said a fish that's salted rather than cooked. Upeirai sha'oshnan, or smoked fruit. Now fruit is edible raw. It must mean smoked vegetables. Or types of things that are not eaten raw. Achach shirin la'achila harielu mutarim. So we have here a rule that only cooking is aser, but meluach einoy kireseach b'gzeirazu. Salting to make it edible is not considered cooking. Lagabi this, even though lagabi blius, we have a rule meluach kireseach. Umuushan einoy kimavushal, and smoked is not the same as cooked. And Ramah is gam kavush, also pickled einoy kimavushal. The loy asru ella bishol shel eish. Now those last words are the subject of or the cause of the turmoil regarding steamed cooking with steam. So I mentioned to you last week that there is a significant difference of opinion in the Paiskim about cooking with steam, as is done today in industry, basically. The boiler in the basement that sends steam up to radiators also sends steam up to steam kettles. The steam kettle is a double-walled kettle. It's a double-walled kettle, and the steam enters the chamber between the two walls, and it cooks whatever is in the kettle. So that is cooking through steam. On the one hand, cooking with steam didn't exist in the time of Chazal. So one could say it's not included in the Gezerah. On the other hand, it is cooking through a Toldah of Eish. It is a Toldah of Eish that causes the cooking of the food. And Lamaisa, the Michas Yitzchak, the Tshuva I mentioned last week, says to be Mekel with a Tziruf. We had the Heter of Beis Chareishes, the Heter of things made in factories, which is a debated heter, that things made in a factory shouldn't have bishalakum somewhat similar to paspalter, except here it's only a heter, not for a palter, but for a factory. So the two together, the Mechas Yitzchak and the Tshuva Chelek Gimel, was makel on cooking with steam. So that's the halach lamaisa, that in many of the plants where cooking is done, they rely on the heter of cooking in steam with the tziruf of a factory, and their makel. No, we meet here only the gabi bishulakum, because the gabi blius, it does cause anything that's hot does cause blius to go. So Hamushan, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you can be mekel, and on steam there are mekilim. I think I mentioned you last week some of the hechsherim amachmir on smoked fish for whatever reason, because they say it may only be cold steam that we're matir. The Ephraim quoted a Shulchan Yaakov I mentioned to you last week that seems to say we're talking about cold smoke and not hot smoke. So some of the Hesherim, they try to be machmir on hot smoke. Obviously, if you give a national Hesher, it's not possible. You have plants all over the place. It's very hard to take on a chumrah. And some of that the Shulchan Aruch says, beferish is mutter. But those that are sort of local Hesherim, they try to, where possible, to be machmir. But the bottom line in the Ikar HaDin is that we're mekel, certainly on smoking, which the Shulchan Aruch is mekel, and on steam, steam cooking as well. Now I should mention in passing that steam cooking presents its own problem, because when you have a factory that has its own boiler and its own steam that cooks, so you're in control. But when you go, let us say, to a hotel, to the Hilton or some hotel where you kosher, it's a major problem cooking with the steam, because the steam, remember, yesterday a guy cooked and the steam went up into the steam kettle. And it condensed. It's the same exact water that cooked the treifa stuff. It condensed and goes back down. There's no ain't a binyamay on water. So you come the next day and you kasha the steam kettle. They kasha steam kettles by filling it up with water and pouring in some bleach type substance. I mentioned to you, bleach evaporates at a very low temperature. It's not suitable. So instead of bleach, they use other things to be pagim, the blias, and they rely on that. That was a discussion we had in Hilchas Taruvis, that when it's a ben yaymai, they have to kasha ben yaymai. When you kasha, the blias go from the keli into the water, and it becomes pagim in the water, and b'meila, that's how they kasha. The problem is that the water itself that the steam is made with is problematic. Sometimes you can have in a hotel two kitchens, two different ballrooms, at the very same time, they're cooking with the same steam is coming up to the kosher soup and the treifa soup, and it's the same connection of steam, which obviously would make the soup treif. So there are issues about how to deal with it. I think one of the ways they deal with it is that in the boiler they put in the water something caustic. Now there was a problem with the places letting you just pour anything into the boiler. But what they did, this goes back 15, 20 years ago, I don't know if it's still the same, there is an anti-rust agent that's made for boilers that you put it into the water, and somehow in case the boiler itself doesn't rust, but in case some of the piping or the wherever it goes it can rust, there's an anti-rust agent which is pegging the water, and that's obviously safe for the boiler. And that's what they were using in order to be pagim the steam. It's very hard to know, because if the boiler holds a certain number of gallons of water, I doubt it's 60 times. Yeah, no, the steam, I don't even measure the volume of the steam, we measure the volume of the water that turns into steam. So I don't think that 60 times as much. I don't know. Maybe in big buildings it is. Anyway, that's what we discussed last week. But I told you I would try to look around as regarding a microwave ovens, whether Bishul Akum applies to a microwave oven. Now I want to mention that microwaves are not typically used for cooking. They're typically used for warming, which is not an issue of Bishul Akum, but they are occasionally used for cooking. And maybe with time it'll be more often that way. So the question of whether Bishul Akum applies to a microwave, I found obviously only contemporary tshuvas. The Shevet Alevi in Chelek Ches Tshuva Kuf Pei Hei, he says it depends on how you understand the heter of Mu'ushan. Is the heter of Mu'ushan because the product is a different product, or because the manner of cooking is a different cooking? That's the issue. If you need that the product be a different product, so that's not true in a microwave. I mean, certain things are different, but if you cook a soup in a microwave, I think it's basically the same as cooking a soup on the resulting soup is the same as on a stovetop. And certainly, b'lashon b'nei adam, it's cooking. So that way, it's not as good as mu'ushan. Not as good as pickle. On the other hand, if the heter is because of the manner in which it's done, then the manner in which it's done in a microwave is obviously different. So it's a suffek. And given that it's a suffek, they say to be machmir. Again, it doesn't come up much in stores, because as far as I know, all the stores only use the microwaves to warm things. Bishul shel eish. So on the one hand, if you argue that way, the steam should be aser because it's shalesh, and the microwave should not be because it's not shalesh at all. So if that's the thing, if that's the sense that it's the maisa, then achinami, there's no way. Nobody cooks there. It's not a bishalakum. Well, it's a tray for shayla. If you wrap it, you can use it. If you go to a motel room and you have a microwave, you can wrap it, obviously not with silver foil, but you wrap it with something, with saran wrap, preferably double wrap it, then there are combination microwave, but they cook both, right? Through microwave and through conventional heat. So,
why
were machmir to suffer drabon? That's a good question. I think the reason that machmir is this. Ramesha writes, and this is my own thinking. I started to mention it last week. Ramesha writes, Gabi Shabbos, what's the din of a microwave? And Ramesha is machmir. He writes that microwave cooking is normal cooking. As I told you in the tshuva that was published in the early 70s, he writes that as soon as microwaves become affordable, people will have them in their homes. He writes in Chaloshin. And he says that microwaves are a problem on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi that talks about Mu'ushan asks an Ibayim Mu'ushan Mahu, and it asks Lagabi Shabbos, Lagabi Basa B'cholav, Lagabi Bishalakum, and Lagabi Maisris. I mentioned to you that if you cook a food, it becomes chayiv in Shumas and Maisris, even for Achilas Arai. So, and it's Yiboyed Ola Yivshita there. It's Yiboyed Ola Yivshita. And Lamaisa by a Drabana Wamekel. But in the Svar of the Machlaikis, it seems to compare it to Shabbos. And Lagabe Shabbos, even though it's supposed to be Eish, like you're saying, but Ramesh is writing, I think it's a Derech to cook, is also good, is also included. So the thought is to compare from Shabbos to Bishul Akum and make and just say that Ramesh is Machmir by Shabbos, Mikra Din, the same thing should be true for the other things mentioned there. That's not a Rai, it's not a proof, but it's a Mashiach. If you cook with a microwave on Shabbos, you see, you can't cook with a microwave on Shabbos because you can't push the button. But in theory, the question is it an Issa Bishul? If someone does cook, whether there's an Issa Bishul on it, then I guess the case would be if a Jew puts it in, he knows a guy is going to put something else in and push his button, whether it's included.
How about an electric stove?
What?
An electric stove.
Electric stove is fire because it has a hot coil. A hot coil, everybody agrees, is fire. Somebody told me, I had riddles last night, I have a riddle. How is it possible that I had to make a bracha by an Xmas tree? That's not a riddle anybody could figure out. He tells me he was once stuck in the hospital, and he had to make havdalah, and he knows he needed an incandescent bulb. And the only place he could find the incandescent bulbs was on the Xmas tree. So he made by Reish on the incandescent. So I said, some riddle, you can think all day and not figure it out. It's, no one's gonna figure it out. Here. Anyway.
Really, when double wrapping is required, it's not enough to just wrap and wrap. You have to have two separate.
If this band has to be separate. Yeah. When you double wrap, it has to be two separate wrappings, because the reason you need a double, not a single, is in case there's ba'en, there are drippings, and it'll go onto the single wrap, and then it'll make its way into the food. Now, if you double wrap, we have a rule that ain't bliya yaitzim a kli l'kli b'loi raitiv. A bliya does not go from one keli, a non-food item, to another one, unless there's liquid. And that's why if it's double wrapped, it's okay. On the airplane food, the airplane meals, that's what they rely on, because it's warmed up in a trefa oven at the same time as trefa food. But they rely that it's double wrapped. And because it's double wrapped, the outside wrapping becomes treif, but it doesn't go to the inside wrapping, because ein bliya yotze mekli lekli b'loi raitiv. You have to be careful occasionally when you get a meal, when sometimes underneath the aluminum gets ripped off. They rip off, it comes in a plastic, and they rip off the cellophane. They really said bring it to the to the customer, he should remove it. Nobody does that. They remove it, and sometimes if they remove it very quickly, they rip off some of the aluminum on bottom. Mm-hmm. If you get an airline meal, an airplane meal, and on bottom you could see the aluminum pan of the food, then it's a problem because you didn't have the double layer during cooking. The Swiss airline meals, years ago, I flew to Switzerland for a wedding of somebody who's a grandfather today, so it goes back a few years, but they had like a double sardine can. It was a can that had to be, you know, you couldn't accidentally rip it. You know, they did it the right way. It was a tin can that you ripped off the top, and it was double, so there was no problem. The way we have it, with just aluminum foil around it, the tin, you have to make sure that underneath it's good. Anyway, let's get back.
What? A towel or a Dr. Saran wrap to double wrap?
Actually, some of your liquid won't go through, so paper towel may be a problem. A while ago, one of the stores came to us with a question about getting an induction cooktop. So what's an induction cooktop? So one of the meshkichim came to show us. Now, cooking by induction is one of the new newfangled ways of cooking. As soon as they get the cost, right now the electrical cost is higher than regular cooking, but apparently it's something for the future. I'll tell you what it looks like, and I'll tell you how it works. An induction stovetop, it looks like a regular counter, and it's cold to the touch. If you touch it, it's cold. You place an iron, it has to be an iron pot on it, and the iron pot itself becomes hot and cooks the food that's in it. When you remove it, the top is still relatively cold. It gets hot a little from the pot, but the top is cold. When you remove it, it's when you put it on, electricity runs. When you remove it, the electricity stops running. Now, it works by induction. Induction it uses an electromagnetic field. The idea that electricity and magnetism are related is the basis for everything we do. All electrical motors are based on the idea that electrical forces create magnetic fields. That's how a motor spins. A motor spins because you have a magnet and you have a spinning coil that has electricity inside, and the swirling electricity creates energy. And that's harnessed in the wiring. So that's electromagnetism. Now what happens in an induction stovetop is essentially that you can't use it with a direct current. You have to use an alternating current because you have to have movement, just like you have a spinning wire. The currents have to be moving. And the stovetop has basically an electromagnetic field. Now, right now, it's not doing anything. It just has a coil of electricity that creates an electromagnetic field. The pot that's put on has to be iron because it has to be something that can use the electricity properly. And the iron pot basically becomes something that harnesses the magnetic field of the electricity. And the swirling electricity, movement of electrons, creates heat. So mamela, the pot gets hot, and it cooks what's inside of it. So it's really a very strange thing. When you look at it, it just looks like a plain counter. You put a pot on it, it cooks. You take it off, and somebody else wants to lean his hand on it, then nothing, there's no, as long as he doesn't have, as long as he's not a metal, he's iron, he's in good shape. So here, it's a very difficult thing to be able to answer. It sounds like more kulidik than a microwave, which at least heats things directly. Here, the electromagnetic field heats the pot. The pot heats the water. Now, that would be like, I guess, a toldos hachama. If you put something in the sun, it got hot and you cooked on it, it wouldn't be bishul akum, bishul bachama, probably not. And Shabbos, toldos chama is exeiro to toldos hesh. But toldos chama on Shabbos, mikra dini, you're allowed to cook. You're allowed to cook in the sun l'maisa, and you're allowed to cook in a toldos chama mikra adin, if not for the mitin deraisa. So it would seem that it's better. It's a difficult. The difficulty is this: when you have a stove, you can have a Jew turn on the fire, and they put it on, they take it off, and shalom by Yisrael. Here, every time you put the pot on, the heating begins anew. You can't. There's no svara that the Jew will turn on the switch on this induction oven. And now it's like throwing in a kisim. It's not throwing in a kisim. When Jews don't switch, nothing happens. It's like plugging in an oven, and someone turns it on later. So there's no eitzah for a Jew to do it in the first place. And every time you put it on to heat to cook, you would have to do it al yedei Yehudi. The svara is that it should be mutter, but it's afraid to start with new things without a psak from. Some of the Pesach Adar, so it's a difficult thing to jump into.
The thing that might makes it induction cooking, there must be something mechanically to do it, that if he does it, that would be...
Yeah, placing the iron, place the iron pot onto the stove.
Can you keep a pot on all day?
What? You could, yeah. But it's just not practical, right? When a cook prepares the food, he puts it in the pot and then puts it on the stove. So you might as well have a fire. What do you gain there? The whole benefit is you gain the non-hot counter. Okay, let's learn Sif Yudalid. Yudalid Tesvav are relatively simple Sifim. And Sif Tezayin is going to be the last major discussion. Sif Yudalid. Beya. An egg, although it's eaten raw, now the question is, 1 minute, you just said that things that are eaten raw, there's no bishalakum. So here you're saying an egg, even though it's eaten raw, still, why? So the shach in Yudalid gives us the reason. The Taz in Yudala gives us the reason. Taz Yudala, Atam, Dachila Ideat Chaki, that's Achila Ideat Chak. Which means to say that Sif Yudala is not only a chiddush about eggs, but it's a chiddush in general that foods that are eaten raw, only Ideat Chak, that's not common to eat it raw, but Ideat Chak, people would eat it raw. These things are included in the Isser of Bishal Akum, because the Bishal is a Chash of a Bishal. What? It's interesting. Over here, the question is whether it's Nechol Chai. So by Nechol Chai, we're saying that if it's Nechai Dat Chak, that's not Nechol Chai. Yet, before we said, if a... you want really sifches, right? If a Jew cooked in kabach ben drusoi, then the guy finished the cooking, then it's mutter. And there, where a Jew cooked in kabach ben drusoi, it's also only nechal edeat chak, and afal piket, it's mutter. So I think the answer will be, I'm going to have soon, that when there's a hekera, we're going to have it in the last Ramah, that when there's a heker, it's mutter. The hecker is that a Jew had to start the cooking, so then it's mutter. Now this sif has a nafkamina legabi hilchis muktzah. How legabi hilchis muktzah? There's a shaila by muktzah if foods, raw foods that are not edible, raw, there's no shaila or muktzah. So if a person has a bag of rice, it's muktzah. If you have things that are that nobody eats, even a box of spaghetti, nobody eats it's raw spaghetti. So spaghetti is muktzah. If you have spaghetti in the shelf, you can't move it to get to something else. It's muktzah machmas gufay, and that is no question. The question is something that's nechal al yedei hadchak, something that's edible. But only nechal al yedei hadchak. Let's say an egg. Is an egg muktzah on Shabbos? So I don't know today. Did anybody eat eggs today? Raw eggs? Only chazanim, maybe. Only chazanim. So there are two dinim in Hilchas Muksa you have to know. One is that in Simin Shin Yud, Siv Beis, it says that an egg, a raw egg, is not mukta. A raw egg is not mukta, and we have to understand what's the reason for that. Is the reason that the time of Chazal people ate raw eggs, and that nowadays it would be mukta, or is it that if it's nechal idei adchak, that's an adequate reason to be mekel on mukta. From here it seems that even in the time of Chazal, eggs were only eaten haidei adchak, chai, which would be a reason to make a chiddush v'as halacha l'maisa, that a food that's nechal haidei adchak is not mukta on Shabbos. Now I don't know today, in the 21st century, if anybody eats raw eggs. I don't think so, right? Anybody eats raw eggs today. So it would mean that raw eggs today are probably absolutely mukta. But a food that's nechal haidei adchak raw would not be mukta. Now where this comes up as a major discussion is the status of raw meat. Whether raw meat or raw poultry is mukta. You say, who cares? You can't cook it on Shabbos anyway. Yeah, but sometimes, you know, you put some ice cream in the freezer. You don't want anybody to see it until the meal. So you hide it behind the stuff the kids aren't interested in. So the question is whether you can move the raw meat or raw poultry in order to get to something that's behind it. It's mukta machmas gufay, which is worse. Yeah, if it's mukta. Now it's worse. If you have a freezer door, and on the freezer door all you have is raw meat or raw poultry, so you have a problem opening the door. Because the door becomes a basis l'davar ha'aser. And you have to be careful in your house. L'maisa, a person should be careful on his door not to put on the door of his freezer just raw meat or raw poultry. It has to be a basis l'davar davar amutter, not davar aser. Frozen soups are fine. So frozen soups, yeah, it's not mukta. It's edible. Even, oh, yeah, but so you put that on the door, you're good. You have to, if you have two things on the door, you have to go according to Rive. Usually the meat is more expensive, so you really have to go about according to which has a greater value. You have to go according to what has greater value. I think so. If you have cooked meat and raw meat, you have to go by what's worth more. I think so. I'm not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with such an idea. Yeah, but the door still has its, probably has its own status, I think so. Now I want to read you Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Raw eggs. It's used raw, so maybe that's nechal chai. Because sometimes, if it's nechal deyat chak, it would seem that it's mutter. It would seem that it's lamais. It says eggs in the time of the mechaber and shulchan aruch is not mukta. It says in shin yud. And here we see that eggs were only nechal deyat chak. It seems to be a proof that things that are nechal deyat chak are not mukta. Now, by basar, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's if it should chesif lamed aleph, basar chai, I feel a tuffle shayna maluach, mutala taltaloi. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have raw meat, even if it's not salted or pickled, it's not mukta, mishum the chazil omtza, because it can be eaten raw. Chazil omtza means it's right to be eaten raw. Chenavaya tafuach, mutala taltaloi, the royal clavim. If it's starting to spoil, then it's royal klavim. If it's good meat, they didn't serve it to klavim. But But anyway, raw meat is chazilumtza. Now hold on a second. Raw meat, we say, there's issa bishalakum on raw meat, because it's not nechol chai. So it must be that it's roilum saidat chak. So we seem to see here in the Mechaber the same idea, that somebody that's nechol aidat chak is called chazilumtza, and it's not muksa. Mishnah Berurah says, what's chazilumtza? Yesh b'nei adam shetaiten yafa v'kaisesin basachai. The Mishnah says in Yuma, they had a problem when Yom Kippur came out Friday, so they had the karbechatos of Yom Kippur, and they had to eat it before midnight. But then it was Shabbos, they couldn't cook it. You can't cook on Yom Kippur, you can't cook on Shabbos. So I think the lashon of the Mishnah is, Hababloim shedaitan yafa kaisesin aisechai. The Babylonians, Shadaitan Yafa, it means they're not Mefunakim, they eat raw meat. Kaisis and Isachai, they used to eat the Karbachatas raw. Not on Yom Kippur, but on Matzah Yom Kippur. So it seems that there's such a thing as of Chazilomtza. In the Shir Shabbos Kolchasa and in the Archa Shulchan, it says, Bizman Azeh, nobody eats raw meat. And that therefore raw meat is muktza, and you have to be careful not to move the raw meat. There is a way of preparing meat. They call it tartar. There are two names to it: steak tartar. There is a way to make raw meat delicious. Yeah. So okay, there's a way that I think to marinate it right in certain liquids, and I don't know if it's kavish or not. Yeah, raw meat is what? Certain fish is eaten raw. Certain fish is not. I don't know. Anyway, this is a ha'ara. What we're learning from here is if it's necha de'at chak, it's enough to make it ois mukta. Is raw meat today nechay de'at chak? So I guess the Archa Shulchan and the Shushas Kachas assume not. A person has to be careful with it. By Bishul Akum, by what was saying, eggs, even though they're nechay de'at chak, it's still Bishul Akum. Well, a food which is basically nechay de'at chak. All right, so look in Taz Yudalid. Tazi Dalad asks of Sifyud Beis. Afli Yesh Matirim Sifyud Beis. Bedagim Gedoilim. Even though by certain types of big fish, that smaller fish can be prepared raw, but bigger fish not. Moidim Kan, Ubitmarim Hamorim Siftezvav. Shekan Enechom, Elide Adchak Godol. Chetzi Amaturbedia, Ade Deche Godol. Zonatina, Ade Deche Godol, that is the Isser of Bishalakum, by extension, if it's eaten like day daycha gadol, it's not muktzah. That's what comes out. If it's eaten like day daycha gadol, it's not muktzah, because the same eggs that we're talking about here, we're talking about over there. So it seems that for Hilchas muktzah, we have a kula here in this sif, because the Taz is saying, Gebeyim are only eaten like day tchak b'shayim b'daycha gadol. And still, they're not muktzah. Sif Tezvav is a similar sif, Tamarim Hamarim. It talks about bitter dates. The boys in my share have had many of them. Tamarim amarim ktsas she'edam nechal ma'ideh atchak. Tamarim that are somewhat bitter, that you need only the atchak. Yibishlav yikachav v'masurim. A little hard. What's the chiddush here? It's repeating sifyud aleph. Eggs are eaten only the atchak. And dates, a bit of dates, only idea at chak. So let's see shacht your test. Very confusing. Short, confusing. All right, maybe there's a slight difference between them. It's not clear why I would think to make a difference if it's liquid or solid, but okay. The shacht your test, read the words, very hard to read. What's the way he says? A kosevis of etam, mem gimel din gimel. Miu. Hani agasim. What are agasim? Pears with tapuchim and apples. Afal pi sheroi v'achilosan ayidei tzliu bishul. Even though pears and apples roiv are eaten, cooked and roasted. Mitzol l'bishul v'chav mutarim. De mekol makayim nechalim gavichayin. They eat raw. V'oid, Shorayv ikra chilasan chai. He said a minute ago, Rayv achilasan etetzli obishal. And he says, Va'ay, Shorayv ikra chilasan chai. Changes mind. Yeah, so what's going on? So the truth is that if you read it in the Shach, it's totally impossible to figure it out. But if you look in the Issa v'Heter, which was actually quoted by the Gilyam Arshah on the first page of the Simin, it says, Rive Iker Achilas Minam Chai. In other words, most apples are eaten raw. The bitter apples that he's talking about, Rive of them are eaten cooked. So he's saying that apples, agasim et tapuchim, the types that arrive achilas on its liobishel, are mutter, because first of all, they themselves can be eaten raw, and second of all, their min is rive eaten raw. We spoke about the shayla of you go bust of the min, or the item you have in front of you, see mitzarev, the rive of the min of apples is good. I don't know, I imagine some type of crab apple. The crab apples we used to find in the woods were not edible. They were, but they could be cooked. What?
Portland apples are made just for cooking.
Are made for cooking, but they're edible. But there are maybe rive of them are cooked. Okay. All right, Sifta Zayin, the final sif in the Simid is probably the most, one of the most significant. We have here a Mechaber and a Ramah, two totally separate dinim. Mechaber Ramah both present a Machlekes de Rashba de Ra'ah, and there may be Toli Zebizeh and Lamdis, but they're two totally separate disputes. Sifta Zayin is the big Machlekes. Keilum Shebishol Ben Levi Kechavim Lefaneinu Dvarim Sheyesh Ben Bishol Akum. Things that we know for sure, a guy cooked something that's Bishol Akum. Tzrichin Hechshon. The first Shita that's brought here is the Rashba Shita, who says you have to kasha kelim from a blia of bishul akum. V'yesh oimrim she'enam tzrichin. That's the Ra. The Ra says that it does not need. So we have here machlekes the Rashba and the Ra. The Be'er HaGoyla on the top right gives a synopsis of the machlekes in Eis Chav Tur b'shem Rashba b'tayos habayis ha'aruch. This is what he says. Once Chazal asked it, plitasai kamayu. The blia, the plita, the taste that goes out is the same. Even the shuman of the gid anasha, which is aser as minikidoshim, once it's aser, it still ases with a blia. The same thing with its gravy. Any Yisid Rabbanan, the Rashba Shita is like plug. Once Rabbanan asked it, they made it like every Yisid. That's the Rashba Shita. The Ra'ah disagrees. The Ra'ah says there's no chastos on Blias. You don't invite a friend over to here, taste some of my Blias. On Blias, there's no gezerah of chastos. That's the Shita of the Mekilim, of the Ra'ah. Machlaikis, Lamais, and the Mechaber, and the Ramah. The Gron Mem explains the Ra'ah. Loshaya Chastas B'kai Gavna. He says there's no Chastas on Blias. So it's a dispute. Why do we paskin? Now we have a rule. If the Mechaber brings two Shitas, and the second is the Yeshayimrim, so we have a rule that we paskin like the first Shita. That's the way the Chachmas Adam paskins. We paskin a blia bishul akum is aser. However, the mechaber goes on. Va'af laham divrei hametzrichin hechsher. Even those old, you have to kasher it in mukliheres. If it's china or a different type of klicheres that cannot be kashered, magiloi sholosh pamim v'dayoi nation l'sazei sigvin deraisa. It's enough to kasher it three times. Let me explain this. We have a Kabbalah. The klicheres ain habliya yaitse miday daifnei la'olam. We have a Kabbalah that klicheres, you can't get all of the blias out of the walls. So we hold that you can't kasher klicheres, and yes, unless you return it to the original type of kiln in which it was originally made, you make it again. But through Hagalo, even Kal, you certainly cannot kasha Kli Cheres. Even Gomor, you could. The Bala Iter holds that all, the Bala Iter holds this way by all Kli Cheres. We only pass that I can hear. Bala Iter Shita is, if you kasha three times a Kli Cheres, it becomes Mutter. When we learn Yeridaya, the way Rav Palm explained it was the following. Palito agrees. We have a Kabbalah. The Bliya doesn't come out of the walls. But if you normally three times like a Chazaka, if you do something three times, you feel you covered the average. If you do it three times, whatever comes out in those three times, when you cook the fourth time, you could assume that cooking was a level of cooking similar to one of the prior levels of cooking. And whatever came out with your cooking came out already in the previous cooking. Those cooking takes out something, not everything. So you do three times like a chazaka, then you got the, you covered the average cooking. And when you cook next time, you can assume bliyas didn't come out. That's the Bala Iter Svara.
Why can you do every kasher that way?
Because you only have to kasher once if it's metal.
Cheres.
So Bala Iter himself holds that way all the time. We use the Bala Iter only as a tziruf. And here, we use it as a tziruf, but kicheres, you can kasha three times. There's one other place I know where this is used, maybe Kivegas Tshuva, about someone that inherited a set of china, and he doesn't know if the grandmother used it for fleishiks or milichiks. So he got this nice expensive set of china, he doesn't know if it's milichiks or fleishiks. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is mekel to wait a year, and kasher it Hagola three times. Some places got mekel even without kashering just once, not three times, but by our klicheres, which are smooth. But Rabbi Kiva Eger mentions using the tziruf, the Haratzvi, using the tziruf of kashering it three times, that's a suffix in the first place. It might be, you might get it right. It might, if you use the fleishiks, maybe it was fleishiks. Use the maybe it was milichiks. Plus, waiting a year. Rabbi Kivega holds, has a chiddush, that if you, when you get it, it's Eina Ben Yaymai, that's a suffix to Rabbanan. Even though when it was a Ben Yaymai, it was a suffix to Reisa, because you cook milk in a fleishik of keli, it's Reisa. But if there was no suffix when it was Ben Yaymai, the suffix started Eina Ben Yaymai, so it's not included in a suffix to Reisa, should it's Gagala to Rabbanan. That's really the main thing he relies on. And he's saying on this thing. What? It's not a problem. So when it was a Ben Yaymai, it was no suffix. Usually when the person dies, you don't go within 24 hours and claim... I mean, it could be. Also, usually it was the day before. Usually you remember, or you have a way of knowing. What happens with these things, they put in boxes, they can put away, and... He's only Mekel, no, because it's a very Geshmak Rabbi Kivager. Kivager gives two Hasberim in the din of Nisgalgel, and he says when it's Heter, and you only find out by a Ben Yaymai, a Ben Yaymai, he's Mekel only because it's Hetera. Because it's Hetera. You can't buy it at a thrift shop or you can't buy Kalim, it can't on a treif, unless they can be Kasha.
But if you bought it,
yes, the Sof de Rashi, and this Gagol of the Rabbanan.
Well, it's glass if you buy it in an antique store. It's glass, really.
We're not making on glass. Certainly, you shouldn't do it lechat chila. Maybe when you have sveikas, you could be making on glass. But the Lamaisin, Shulchan Aruch says that we're not making on glass.
Okay. And the Chachma Sadam, when there's a Machaber and a Yeshomer, his iron clad.
Wow. Nothing, no klal is ironclad because you have to look at later paiskim. Everything depends. But the general, call it a general klal in Shulchan Aruch, is that when it says two shitas, if the first is stam and the second is yeshayimer, we pass it to the first shita. If they're both yeshayimers, then we pass it to the second shita. Mm-hmm. That's the general klal hayadua these type of things. There is an important second kula to Bishul Akum. A second kula, this is Daki Tshuva Simit Tzadik Beis. We'll learn the shachar that it comes based on in a minute. We know normally you only kasha kelim eina b'nei yayman. For Bishul Akum, you could kasha even kelim that are b'nei yayman. For Bishul Akum, even b'nei yayman. Why? Let's say I have a tray for keli and I want to kasher it. So why can't I kasher it if it was used within 24 hours? Because let's say I boil up water and I throw the keli in. It's going to make the water treif. And then the water will make the pot treif again. Anytime it's a ben yaymai, you have a problem kashering it, it's going to make the water treif. So that's why the hechsherim rely on putting some caustic bleach or something into the water. So it makes the water treif, it's paigamin. By bishul akum, you're allowed to do hagali even ben yaymai. So we'll learn in a minute, even a ben yaymai keli does not ask the food b'di'eved that's in it. It doesn't ask for the food. Let's learn shach of aleph. It's the last shach. It's a short shach. And it's in the halacha l'maaseh world, one of the most important lines in this whole kufya beis, kufya gimel. The shach says, srichen hechsher, in nisbashel bahem b'di'eved, if you already cooked b'di'eved in a keli that was used to bishul akum, v'yesh roiv betafshul, and the pot, the contents of the pot is roiv against the pot itself, shari, the bishul evik chavim betelim b'roiv. Now, if you read the shach, he's saying if you cook a soup in a keli that was used for bishul akum, it's mutter, you have the contents of the pot are roiv connected to the walls. Now, if you read just this shach, you would assume if you made scrambled eggs in a pan that was used for bishul akum, it's still awesome. Because the eggs are not rive against the thickness of the whole pan. However, the Chachmas Adam says that we can always assume that the blias that come from the walls of a keli are a miut legabe the tam of the food itself. When you cook eggs in a keli, certainly whatever taste it gets from the keli, roiv of the tam is from the egg itself. And I don't know what he'd say about water, but certainly other foods, foods that have taste, it's not osir b'di'eved if it's cooked in a keli that became treif because of bishul akum. Now this is an important kula, at least b'di'eved. I mentioned to you that somebody had asked how a Sephardi could go into a Ashkenazi restaurant and say, let me put the food on the stove. By him putting the food on the stove, so it's Bishul Yisrael for Sephardim. But isn't the pot already osir from the prior cooking? According to the Shach, at least by the Eved, the food will never become osir from Blias. Because the prior is blias, and I don't know if you're not mevatlis lachatchila, but when the whole issue is an issue of dispute, because the previous bishul was not bishul akum according to Ashkenazim, so you can rely at least that the blia of the keli does not aser the food. That's the psak of the shach, and that's the reason at least makom tzairach a person can be mekel on kashering kelim b'nei yayman. By bishul akum. Because bishul akum is a kal that they were makel on bittul b'roiv. There's no bittul b'roiv on things that give taste. It's only here. It's only here that there's such a kula. It's a unique kula to bishul akum. Bishul akum will makel on bittul b'roiv, and we'll make it's a very it's an important kula to know in the Heksher line that there's such a kula because l'chatchila we try to argue bishul Yisrael, but when you have this heter of bittul b'roiv, it's an important heter by bishul akum. Yeah.
It seems like here it's a double heter. Not only is roiv, but we don't assume that the blias is the whole volume of the.
You don't see that from the Shach, but the Chochmas Adam says that. Yeah. Chochmas Adam says that we can assume the food itself, roiv of its tam, is not from the pot. We don't say that in Basachov Taruvis, but over here he's makel with such an umdala.
So in that case, if you have a pot full of
that's right. Meatballs does with bishul akum. and now you put in scrambled eggs. We assume the klima is washed out in between and just bleeds through the walls. We assume the taste of the egg is a rive egg and only meat taste. That for bishul akum purposes, that's how chachmas adam is make. Okay, the last Ramah. If a guy cooked for a chayla on Shabbos, mutar l'mitzray Shabbos afilu labari. It's mutar mitzray Shabbos. That means the leftovers. Mutar Shabbos afilu labari. Ve'emay b'shem b'shalakum chalkei gavda hekei re'ika. And the parentheses it says this is a ra'ah. Here it's a little complicated. The halacha itself is not so complicated. You have a guy who cooked on Shabbos, and it's bishalakum, but he cooked for a chayla. Now we'll discuss why it's mutar on Shabbos, but it's mutar on Shabbos, and then whatever's left over, so the ra'ah is mekel. Now look at the gra membeis kekas of a ra'ah ukishitasai. And like his shita, he said by blias there's no chasnus and smuter. He said the leftovers when he cooks for a chayla, there's no chasnus smuter. Avol a rajba chayla kolav. Now I mentioned to you in the past the rule of the chazanish that when the gra says avol and brings a second shita, he means the paskin like the second shita. Chazanish in his igrais writes the code of the gra. Is that when he writes, this is the ra'ah, deloit karajba, and he's passing like the ra'ah. So this is the ra'ah, alva la rajba chaylek. So it means to pass in like the rajba, which is, fits well with his shita earlier in Mem, where he also passed in like the rajba. And turns out that the gra is machmir on the leftovers, the mechaber is mekel. If you look at Berhetiv, you test. The Berhetiv, when he brings his own svari, he adds it in parentheses. The last few lines, first he brings Hataz Chaylik Azeh, should have mentioned. The Taz holds leftovers is Aser, Vaisalabari, Afilu Chaylatzma Yede Mutter. Berhetiv brings Hataz, even the Chayl himself, Al Bishas Atchak, after Shabbos. I mean, it's once it's Mutter on Shabbos, it's Mutter. I did the Svara Lahakal, let me explain. The Svara of the Mekilim is that it's enough with a hecker. A hecker means that if something is Bishol Akum, the Israel is Alzchasnus. The fact that on Shabbos you called the guy to cook, because Jews are not allowed to cook, that itself is sort of a hecker, it's a barrier. And you're saying that, oh, a guy cooked, he can cook on Shabbos. He's saying the Feirush, it's a chilek between Jews and Goyim. And that's the heter of the Ra'ah. That a heker is enough. Rashba holds, like plug, that once they made it an Isser, it's an Isser. What? Yeah, it seems that's not totally in Hutcher and the Chuyek. They don't employ that type of a Lashon. Now let me read to you the Mishnah Berurah. Here we have Mishnah Berurah. Amirah Shechav Chesif Yotes. Chayla She'in Baisakana Mutter B'Bishalakum. Says there, Chayla She'in Baisakana Yesh B'Sakana is no Shayla. Chayla She'in Baisakana writes Yesh B'Sakana, a Jew could cook. If it's Ein Baisakana, so a guy is allowed to cook for him on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah. Avagav D'Shar Isid Rabban Asal Chayla She'in Baisakana. Even though this goes against the regular rule, Shani Bishalakum Sheni Surei Machmas Atzmai. It's not so chomer, it's not Isser Be'etzem, and therefore we're makel for a chayla. Here the Mishnah Berurah says, Mashanishal Abatzai Shabbos, Osir Afilu Lachayla Atzmai, Kivishav Shalavashalai Oz Al Yedei Yisrael. So this is possible then to cook through a yid. He says at the bottom, Chebavu Barashba. So he's passing not like the Ramah, he's passing like the Gra, the Taz, that leftovers are also even for the guy himself. Now here is the more important question. Leftovers, you throw it out, in our day and age, it's no big deal. What about the Kalim? Kalim Shebishal Ein Yehudi. The Kalim that the guy cooked. Now he means the guy cooked on Shabbos Beheter. And we already had a machlaikis if Caleb need to be kasher. Mishnah Berurah says in Shulchan Ches, Caleb shebishul eini Yehudi tzrichin hechsher. They must be kasher. Vafilu kli cheres. Kivon the sheikri suri eini alamid rabbanon dayoi imagila gimel pa'amim. It's good enough if you kasher it three times. The b'di'evet. In bishul bai b'layiv b'hagala. V'yesh roiv b'tafshul. Mutter. That's loshen of the shach. If you cooked and there's roiv in the tafshul against the pot, it's mutter. V'yesh makilin dein tzrichin hechsher klal. And the asamu amekel that you don't have to kasher it. Haseimech aleihem. L'yikesh bishul bai b'shabis loyiv sid. So normally we're machmer to kasher Caleb, but in the case of cooking for a chaylan Shabbos, which is the svara that ika hakera, so then you don't have to kasher. So this is a Mishnah Berurah. He says I make a lo hifsid, but Lamaisi says it. What? Well, the Sfardim have a different threshold for what's called Bishalakum. Right. But once it's called Bishalakum, they would agree that they have to kasher. The Mechaber holds you have to kasher. The Sfardim and Ashkenaz both agree that you have to kasher. Okay, this is what? What? It sounds like that from the previous, the longer grow, he seems to be telling about two machlaiks of Zeb Zeb. So it could be. But we don't pass night to Ramah. All right, Lamaisa, what we get out of this, Lamaisa Bishalakum has to be kashered. We get a kula for klicheres, but more importantly, sometimes it happens that a person goes to a neighbor or a relative, and sometimes very uncomfortable because they're not makpid on Bishalakum. Today in Flatbush, many homes, you have homes where cleaning ladies or cook their own scrambled eggs, or they just seem to be ignorant of rules of Bishalakum. They leave a guy in the house all day, and the guy's certainly cooking something. And really, the Caleb have to be treated, and hopefully only tray from Bishalakum. You know, I don't know how to trust them for Basel B'cholav. But at least that in such a house, the food that was cooked at the Caleb, they don't become us. And that's really the kula, assuming all the ingredients were kosher. It's a Bishalakum issue, that it's mutter. So basically, we covered Kufya Beis, Kufya Gimel, the halachas of Pasakum and Bishalakum. We move on to Kufya Dalet. Reb David, can I ask you to make copies of Kufya Dalet? And what we really should do next week is I should draw up a synopsis, a one-page synopsis of the main issues, the main rules. Believe that, I'll try to do it during the week.